Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. You are on the Wrestling Inc. podcast where the trio is with you tonight. We are locked, cocked, ready to fire all the hot takes about tonight's AEW Dynamite. I am Justin Labar, coming to you from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, being joined by my normal partners in crimes on this Hump Night podcast. First, up north, across the border in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. He made his living wearing stripes, counting to three, for over 20 years in the WWE. He is renowned author, renowned friend, renowned referee, renowned podcaster, the one, the only, Jimmy Corderas.
Thank you. That was an incredible introduction. But you also forgot, occasionally I did count to 10, which we...
It's a lost start. I guess you're also a renowned chef too. I see your pictures of you and Audra always firing up in the kitchen there.
No, you know what? I'm having a lot of fun doing it, and you know, I got a master to learn from, because I got to hand it to Audra. She's how I'm not bigger than I am is incredible. It's because everything she cooks is awesome, and I'm learning from the best. So.
Well, it's because you eat up, but then you burn all those calories off of those ref and rants. That's the key.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
There we go. He's got the key to the north. She's got the key to the south, down in the beautiful island of Puerto Rico. She is the spiciest thing south of Miami. She is our resident demon diva, the one, the only, Miss Issa. Issa, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be with you guys to talk about Dynamite.
Yeah. So we're talking about Dynamite here. And before we go kind of like segment by segment, as we normally do, the one news item we were going to talk about that was, you know, was the rumors of where Deonna Purrazzo could land next. Spoiler alert, it's AEW. So there's no need to obviously talk about what that report contained because we now know that she is All Elite. So, you know, actually, it's kind of before we get into segment by segment, I wanted to kind of note something. I just tweeted a condensed version of this a minute ago, but it's been now exactly 5 years. 5 years ago since AEW held that famous press conference in Jacksonville where they announced All Elite Wrestling and what it was going to be. And we, you know, and I was thinking back to that press conference and thinking about all the talent that was there and talent like the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho, Cody Rhodes, who of course has not been around for 2 years with AEW, Joey Janela has not been around for several years. I don't remember if MJF was there, but you know, just think of these names: Bucks, Omega, Jericho, MJF, Britt Baker. None of those names.
Baker, it's always who I remember immediately.
Yeah, none of those names at all tonight on AEW Dynamite. So certainly, as Dynamite, and they acknowledge it tonight in Dynamite, certainly a feeling of moving forward, and the main event kind of symbolized that the way they set it up. But tonight, Issa, this Dynamite truly did feel like a move in the next chapter for AEW. Now, granted, a lot of those names that I did say are injured or have something going on, but still, just right. To see a Dynamite with all of them not on there is crazy.
Yeah, I think there was some presences that were missed in the show tonight. you know, you have, what, a quarter of your roster in Japan right now for Wrestle Kingdom. You have Moxley's over there. You know, Brian is over there. I did think that there was something a little bit missing, but it's crazy to think it's been 5 years. That day was such revolutionary for the business, and we were all talking about it, and it felt like something big was happening. And I don't actually, whether you like it or hate it, or with the up and downs that AEW has had, it really changed the atmosphere of everything. And I don't think that we would have seen some of the crazy deals that we're seeing and some of the crazy moves, or even the booking, the creative, WWE stepping it up, without AEW and its creation. So that day truly changed the landscape for the business.
Oh, absolutely did. No doubt about it. Jimmy, 5 years later, AEW has grown for the positive in many ways. And then in other ways, we're looking and it feels like there's been some regression from how they started as, you know, truly an alternative to you know, where you might categorize them in some, you know, in with some things today. Yeah. What did you make of tonight's show overall before we go segment by segment? And most notably, like I said, the lack of the OGs.
That was the thing. It's not that the presentation, what we saw in the ring and that sort of stuff was horrible or anything like that. And there were, you know, the little things that I can, you know, sometimes like to rant about, the tightening of certain screws. But at the same time, like Issa said, and like you said, Justin, there was a lack of that, for lack of a better term, star power. I mean, yes, you want to bring up your younger talent and you want to, you know, elevate the next, you know, segment of your roster. But at the same time, you need those talents to help elevate them. Because, you know, they also bring more eyes to the product.
No, absolutely. They absolutely do. And obviously, again, you know, noting all those names, it's just kind of fun just because it is a fact that I realized a few minutes ago just before they went off the air as we're seeing the completion of the show. But, like, but you know, you need those established eyes to help give the rub, but you also need to make room for, you know, who's next up. So I think at some points in the show I could see that, and other points I saw where I felt that they were lacking. So let's dive into it. Appreciate everybody who's in the chat already getting going. Of course, if you want to make sure you join the panel here, you can do a super chat. For whatever you can afford to give, we appreciate any amount. Leave a comment, after the fact on this podcast is always appreciated, whether you're watching the video or whether you're doing the audio, wherever you get your podcast there. And of course, any 5-star ratings, any reviews you want to leave, any tell a friend, share with a friend, all that greatly appreciated here on this Wrestling Inc. podcast. So we kick it off tonight in Newark, New Jersey. And we get a Samoa Joe pre-tape, a promo that was taped after his victory at Saturday's World's End. And he said how he got everyone to turn against MJF, and then he showed up and beat MJF in front of any friends and family that he had left. Said that he is Samoa Joe, and he will take everything from anyone who tries to come after him in his World title. So I haven't got to talk to three of you about World's End. So this is kind of fresh for me to get your perspectives. But Issa, Samoa Joe, our new AEW World Champion, what did you make of them kicking off with this promo from him at backstage at World's End?
I loved it. And I think that that's how you have to do it. If somebody didn't watch World's End and you don't start with this, they might be wondering where's MJF, this devil stuff. So that put a lot of things together. It was a great way to catch you up with what you were going to see up next without having to show a big recap and all that. And Samoa Joe, I'm so happy that he's the world champ. I think it's about time that he won the big one, and it's awesome. Any promo that he cuts, I've always found them believable. Whether he kept going on a losing stream, it doesn't matter. That man speaks and you automatically believe everything that he's telling you. With the title, he looks even better.
Jimmy, I was expecting MJF to lose the title. Just the injuries, and you know, you figure the devil would be revealed, so how is he going to retain the title with the devil still? So I'm not surprised that Joe took the title here, but you know, it does look like we're in for a Samoa Joe era with MJF out on injury and or not signed. You know, that's a whole other conversation. What did you make of Joe as your new champion, and did you buy what he was selling in this promo?
I'm a big fan of Joe, and yes, I like seeing him as the AEW champion. And listening to him talk, like you guys said, he's believable because he's a legit badass. Let's put it that way. And it comes across like that. And when you hear him, you go, oh, yeah, I believe what this guy's telling me. But the only, you know, again, if I could nitpick a little bit, yes, I like the fact that it was fresh right after the win. It was taped, after the defeat of MJF. But at the same time, it would have been nice to, you want to start the show off with a bang, start off with your new world champion coming out live in front of that crowd and get that live reaction. I don't know. It's just that little thing that I think would have been, but other than that, it came off well and came off believable. And I'm actually looking forward to the Samoa Joe era.
Well, I also thought the promo was really good. I guess I'll volley back against you, Jimmy, on the point of, you know, we know that we're going to hear from, and we need to hear from, Adam Cole and company because of the betrayal. And so we know we're going to get that live. Now, they could have had Joe come out at a separate time to have another live in front of the crowd promo. But I actually think in past, we might have seen Dynamite almost bury a promo like Joe's. They would tuck it in somewhere after maybe a 20-pound intense match or segment. I actually like the fact they didn't even do an intro video. They didn't do the Dynamite interview. They went right to as a cold open, kind of like they do with collisions. They went right to a cold open. So that grabbed my attention that we got Joe immediately getting to have his victory speech. Because if for those that saw World or those that didn't see World's End, Joe wins the title via sleeper, you know, chokes MJF out. He gets the title and then he's out of there. I mean, he didn't even celebrate. All the TV focus was on now the devil and the devil henchmen. So, you know, Joe didn't even really get it, that kind of got buried Saturday night. So I'm glad they kind of rectify that in my mind by having him right up front remind people why he's a badass and why he is Samoa Joe. So I actually thought good on Dynamite to shake up the how they start the shows or how they might have treated this in past times. Real quick, separate note from Samoa Joe or MJF. Again, going through the names and not there, not an OG at the press conference, but showed up, you know, what, 5-6 months later, I believe, at Double or Nothing. John Moxley, also not on tonight's Dynamite. Right. So very historic Dynamite for who was not there.
He's in Japan. He's wrestling Wrestle Kingdom in a few hours.
Yeah. Well, I know that. I'm just saying he's just not there.
Yeah.
You know, prayers to everybody in Japan. I know there was an earthquake. Yeah. Some craziness going on in Japan. So hope everybody... Mm-hmm. Everybody's okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, who is there tonight in Dynamite is the Undisputed Kingdom. That is Adam Cole alongside Taven, alongside Roderick Strong, alongside Wardlow, and Mike Bennett as well. And they come out, new music and everything. Adam Cole sitting on the chair because he is still walking around in that walking boot. And he says that MJF made a ton of enemies and that most people in that locker room, if they haven't already done it at one day, they will thank Adam Cole and his group. Even Tony Khan one day will thank Adam Cole. MJF is a narcissist. He says MJF is no longer working there. He says that Adam Cole said it was time for a change. And the locker, and again, the locker room will say thank you. And we'll thank him. Time for a change. And he notes how we have the ROH Tag Champions. Notes how Roderick Strong's Got to have a match soon against Orange Cassidy, I believe. He also notes how Wardlow, he says Wardlow is going to go after the AEW World title. And then once Wardlow wins it, he's going to forfeit it over to Adam Cole. So he kind of gives the rundown, gives the lay of the land of the Undisputed Kingdom. And then Jay White comes out, says that he does not like being jumped when he was alone, but now he's not alone anymore. So here comes the Guns. They come out, but they're still outnumbered. And then to finish that off, the Acclaim of Billy Gunn come out to run off the United Kingdom. Lot to unpack here, Jimmy. First off, Adam Cole and the Undisputed Kingdom. Adam Cole is the devil. Your reaction to that?
I didn't mind it. I know some people were saying, oh, come on. I even heard, oh, that was so predictable. So what? It worked. It did work. The only thing I don't like about is it's the members. Yes, I get Roddy and the boys, but Wardlow being a follower again, here's a guy who came back and looked like they were going to un-Wardlow him and make him a legitimate threat. Yes, they planted a seed here with Adam Cole suggesting that he would win the AEW World Championship and then forfeit it over to him. And there was that slight little, I like that it was slight little like, what the heck's he talking about? Look from Wardlow. But at the same time, for right now, again, he feels like he's in the background as opposed to being a guy who should be primarily featured, in my opinion.
Issa, I feel like if you're Wardlow right now, Superman video, I was in the back. Lucha Self video, I was in the back. I feel like he is just going from one boy band to another, being the guy who you know could kick everybody else in the group's ass, but they're just kind of... I mean, is this the storyline that finally gets Wardlow broke, you know, that gets him broken out as the huge single star and goes for world title that we always thought that he should have been doing?
Incredible reference. Huge pop.
I knew you would get it. I knew you would
get it. No, I don't know that this is the story. The problem is that with Adam Cole being hurt and us not knowing how long he's hurt for, Swerve being clearly the next person up for this world championship opportunity, whether he's got to mingle with Adam Page or not, it doesn't feel like Wardlow's going to get there right now. So even like when he said that, I'm like, yeah, okay, if Adam Cole was healthy and Wardlow gets the title for him, I can see an incredible feud between the two of them, you know, going back and forth, who's going to get the title, but we don't know. I mean, Adam Cole can talk, and I like the explanation somewhat, but with him being injured, it just becomes so hard for me to buy this as a badass. And why are they following instructions from this guy who's just sitting on a chair the entire time? I don't know. You know, I want to see where it goes. I like the explanation. I like what happened after, but I do not think this is what gets Wardlow to the next step. I definitely not.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, I'll wait and see, I guess, with this with Wardlow. Adam Cole, I will say this. I mean, Adam Cole is a tremendous babyface. He is so over when he is a babyface. He has so many things that make for longevity for a guy, you know, having interactive music and chants and songs and everything. That goes a long way. Obviously, he can't be that because, you know, to be a great babyface, you need to be able to be a fighting babyface, and he can't be a fighting babyface. So I do agree with, if you want to get him on TV, let him be a heel, and, you know, he can at least sit on his throne and manipulate and control everybody. So I'm good with this. You know, I mean, it's not, you know, is it the biggest headline of him being the devil? No, but it also was kind of more logical. So, you know, predictable is okay if it's logical. So I'm willing to see this with Adam Cole and see where this goes. I guess my big question will be timetable of his health as it relates to the walking boot, because it's like,
I'm sorry, just with what you said about him sitting in the throne, I needed the explanation live on the ring, but now make them some kind of locker room backstage where he can sit there and direct his devils to do his duty. Like, I don't need to see him in this condition out there because it's a hard sell. He can do it and he can go on the mic, but when you're looking at the visual of it, I was doing my watch on and I'm almost like, if I turn this way and I don't look at him and I'm listening to what he's saying, sounds great, but the visual doesn't match it. Now, if he has some kind of throne to just sit and direct people, I can probably buy it.
No, I agree with that, Issa. Yeah. I agree, especially because you stripped all the things that make seeing him live away. You've taken the song away. You've took the boom and all that stuff, the baby. So I agree. Set him up in an Undisputed Kingdom clubhouse a la Judgment Day. Set him up somewhere backstage where he can be on top of his throne. But the timetable of his health is what I'll be curious of, because, you know, he planted that seed with Wardlow's going to go do their bidding and get the world title and give it to Adam Cole. Obviously, if MJF is still with the company, which a lot of people believe that is the case, but he needs to take care of his health, you know, well, when MJF comes back is also relevant to when Adam Cole could go to. So like, are we 6 months away from payoffs of Adam Cole being able to be physical? Are we 2 months? Like, what is it? So that's another thing that makes me curious, but I do think all things considered, Adam Cole as a heel right now is the best way to get him on TV.
No, agreed.
So
that, like you said, because of the injury, you can get your henchmen to do your dirty work for me, so to speak. There's an old school word for you. Henchman.
D. Cohen says, great show. Was there live? Strong crowd. Yeah, I mean, they had the top tarped off, but it looks like a solid 5,000 or 6,000 they had in the lower bowl, so good on them. Dylan Matthews says, come to the big time, Wardlow, and bring LeBar. I'm busy with Wrestling Inc. and Busted Open. And shout out there to Daniel. Justin Love, Busted Open, and Sundays. Great job. Yes, thank you very much, Daniel. We're having a good time every single Sunday on Channel 156. All right, so that was so all this now, we still have not got a match yet, which is kind of unusual for AEW in a lot of ways. We finally get our first match, of course.
Oh, wait, before you go on, I forgot to say that I was a big fan of Jay White coming out, because a lot of times they forget about things or they don't have that continuity. Yeah, Jay White got completely screwed over in this whole devil thing. So I did like the continuation of Jay White coming out and saying, hey, I thought you were my friend, you screwed me over. I did like, it made sense, and I like when things make sense.
Well, Jay White, but also even the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn and them coming out, because they were also victims of the devil's attack.
Right.
So that all did at least come back to be acknowledged, which is good.
Which gives them, again, the members of the devil's crew, people to, not just one group to go against.
Yes.
They've created many enemies. So there's options and opportunities.
I love history here. Secular Belt saying Bret Hart led a faction through 97 sitting in a wheelchair. This is true. That is very true. Point.
Yeah.
I'm not going to crown Adam Cole as Bret Hart, but or at least actually, that was actually Bret's best run on the mic was him being a hero in Canada and heel in US, hero everywhere else. But yes, good history to pull there. All right, we got our first match, International Champion Orange Cassidy versus Dante Martin. Orange Cassidy's going to get the win. Not surprised here as he continues his run as International Champion. Post-match, out comes Private Party, and they put the AEW Tag Division on notice for 2024. He says, it's been a minute since we've seen Private Party get this kind of primetime real estate on Dynamite.
I was actually very happy to see them. I thought they were I remember there was a big buzz going around them, and then kind of went nowhere once they joined the Hardy family and they were doing all that stuff with the Hardy. It really cooled them off. I don't think it made sense that they came out here. This is a singles match for the whatever the name of that championship is. There's too many to keep up with. But why did they come out here to put the tag team division as champion after a singles match?
Actually, after Orange Cassidy won, then didn't he have? We had people come into the ring.
We have people coming to the ring after everything in AEW. Well,
whether it's in the ring or backstage, there's always somebody. Yeah.
I'm happy for them. We'll see where it goes.
Jimmy, what do you think of Private Party coming out here?
No, I like it. They got a good reaction, and
they did.
Like the fact, and that means something. And when people who are watching who may not be very familiar with them, let's put it that way, when they hear that, they go, oh, these are guys that maybe I have to pay attention to. So now they've got a little bit of interest going, and that the fact that they put the entire tag division on notice, little things like that. That matters. So it's good to see them back, and hopefully they help bolster that tag division.
Yeah, I would agree with all that. I really can't add much. I do agree. Again, talk about this is kind of a sense of irony. I'm talking about the amount of AEW and Dynamite OGs who weren't on, but Private Party is one of the first tag teams they did have when Dynamite launched. So kind of fun to see them come back out, and they did get a good pop for not being not being really relevant for a couple years. They did get a pretty good pop there in Newark, New Jersey. Terry Allen Jr. with the $3.06 super chat of Justin, you speak to, it means Wardlow sometimes about life. I mean, we still keep in touch. I kind of talk about a little bit of everything, but still.
Cool.
Still speak to the big man.
Hopefully he listens. And before you get to the next one, Justin, really quick, the other, you know, again, you know me, got to talk the little things again, is the timing of this, like you guys pointed out, after this match, you know, Private Party comes out, they do their little thing. People kind of, the match they just witnessed.
Yeah.
Always happens after Orange Cassidy match.
Fair enough. We had a question.
They put everything in their pockets. Yes, sir.
Yeah. The Carman Live 2 on the chat saying, hi, Justin Labar, NYC Demon Diva, and Jimmy Corderas. Greetings from Hammond, Indiana. Huh. Have you all ever heard of Fire Pro Wrestling at Impact Christian Church in Maryville, Indiana? I don't think I have.
I'm not, but I've been to Maryville, Indiana.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Oh, Issa, you've told me this before. You worked in Indiana.
I used to live in the Midwest. Yeah, I used to live in South Bend, Indiana. Jesus territory.
I don't know if I've been to actually Maryville, Indiana. Indiana. Yeah. But Hammond, I've been to for sure. And I probably have driven through Merrillville many times. It's over the
I was going to say, Jimmy, you were on the road for 20 plus years. You've set up a ring and counted to three in every little town at some point.
At some form or fashion, in places you'd be actually shocked.
Yeah. No, I'm not really familiar with them, the Carman Live 2, but there's, I guess, your free plug. People can Google Fire Pro Wrestling and at the Impact Christian Church.
Yes, and we wish you well.
The Impact Christian Church. All right, up next, I love this, backstage, Toni Storm, not thrilled to be in New Jersey. She's going to go into the city. And Mariah May is going to have her debut match tonight in AEW, and Toni Storm does not watch wrestling in New Jersey, and so Luther carries her out. So we'll set that up here as we go into Mariah May having her debut match against Queen Aminata. Very happy to see Queen. Got to work with her before on the independent scene, hard-working. Young lady. So, and some hard hitting moments in this match between Mariah May and Queen Aminata. They did not go lightly on each other. At the end of the day, though, as you'd expect, Mariah May does get the victory, hitting her May Day finish. After the match, she says that she hopes that Toni was watching and that she does diss New Jersey. And then cue the music. Out comes free agent that we had heard about, Deonna Purrazzo, no longer with TNA Impact Wrestling. She's from New Jersey and she's got a message that Mariah May could send back to Toni Storm, but how she's coming for her, and Mariah tells her she's no messenger. But the big news here is, Jimmy, Deonna Purrazzo, the newest addition, she does get the She Is Elite graphic and confirmation from Tony Khan on Twitter. So Deonna Purrazzo, again, don't really think you and I've ever talked much about her. I don't know how much you've seen of her, if any. I've been a fan of her. I'm happy to see her be on television anywhere, but what say you get to come out in her home state and seemingly thrusted right into a women's title picture storyline.
Well, of course, a smart move to debut her in her home state where she is very well known, especially from the crowd reaction that you got in Newark, New Jersey. And yes, she is a very talented woman. And I like the fact that it looks like they're putting some effort at least to maybe bolster that division. They do have some talented women there. It's just that they haven't been showcasing them on television enough or putting them in the right spots on television, if you get my meaning, where that people could really get invested in the talent that they have there. And here's an opportunity now with someone who bolsters that division. And it looked like there was an effort tonight to put a little more spotlight on the women's division, and hopefully that continues. And I think Deonna Purrazzo will be a big part of that.
Issa, your reaction to Mariah May's debut AEW match and your reaction to the newest acquisition, Deonna Purrazzo?
I was a big fan of this match. I was a big fan of both of these women. I was not very familiar with Queen Aminata, I think that's how you pronounce her name. And I absolutely ended up loving her, but I also thought that Mariah May looked great. They made each other look good. It was a very good women's match on AEW, which is great. There was a couple of women's segments. You had Toni Storm backstage. You had Soraya and all the people backstage. You had this, you had what happened after the match. So I did feel like we were seeing a little bit more. I don't want to get too excited, but I did see that. I thought this was the perfect place to debut Deonna Purrazzo. I think you would have gotten a reaction no matter where you did it, but if you had the opportunity to debut her in New Jersey, why not? And it gave her a little extra confidence. I will tell you one thing, and I'm now nitpicking. I'm in Jimmy Cordero's territory here. Mm-hmm. The promo from Mariah right after, she couldn't breathe. And I was like, whoever's going to interrupt her need to come out already because she's struggling. And after she caught her breath, because Deonna spoke her part, and she was like, I'm no messenger. She delivered that very well. But I was like, man, they did this right after this girl was struggling out there. But overall, I was a big fan of everything. And I hope that Deonna is the beginning of seeing some changes here. I think she's incredible and she's going to do great things here.
Yeah, Deonna Purrazzo, the best thing for and from New Jersey. Several laps ahead of Dave LaGreca, I would say. and Queen Aminata, let me give her a shout. Find her on whatever social media platform you prefer. She's on Instagram.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Instagram, she's on Twitter. She's on all of them. Find whatever clips you can of her in a match. Just follow her. Girl is a stud. She is a gym beast. She is an athletic beast. She's legit. And I know this is not her first AEW match. She's had matches on Dark. I think this is like her 19th or 20th match, I think is what the stat thing said. So she's been getting some reps. It's certainly the first one, I believe, live on Dynamite, which is the biggest deal. And it was not a squash match. I mean, she got some offense, maybe more than maybe she even should have. And I'm always kind of critical about the non-contracted talent getting as much shine as they do against, somebody who you're trying to position like a Mariah May. But that being said, and to Issa's point, Queen Aminata gave Mariah a little bit of a run, which I might have think contributed to Mariah being a little out of air there.
But she kept up. She kept up. They both made each other look great. I was a fan of this match.
No, agreed.
So Tony Khan said on the press conference last weekend he's going to be active and active or aggressive, one of the words, in free agency in 2024. So already.
But was he wearing a hat and sunglasses when he said that, or did he say that?
Don't get me started. Don't get me started.
Okay.
It's the safest environment in wrestling.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But he also feared for his life. I'm not sure which one is which, but both did happen.
And we suspended Andrade for punching somebody in the face backstage. But hey, it's super safe back there.
Anyway, out comes Christian Cage. He's got the entire posse with him. He's got Killswitch. He's got Nick Wayne. He's got Shayna Wayne. Shayna Wayne immediately grabs the mic, tells everybody to put some respect on the patriarch here, on the father, on the TNT champ. Tells them all just to shut up. Christian Cage then talks about how there are no more title shots for Adam Copeland. Back of the line, Adam. And all while this is happening, he's just touting how he's, this just proves what he's been saying for years, which is he's better than Adam and outranks him. While this is all going on, Luchasaurus chants coming from the crowd that's agitating Christian. And of course, his name's not Luchasaurus anymore. He's Killswitch. I don't feel great about that, but that's what he is. But he, of course, he's getting revved up hearing that and hearing that. And then, nice little touch to bring about Christian talking about how he's going to be the greatest TNT champion. He's going to hold it forever until he decides to then give it over to his boy, Nick Wayne. So obviously, Jimmy, we are long play. I don't know how long of a play this is, but long play setting up for Killswitch to finally turn on Christian. What'd you make of this entire segment here?
No, it was what Christian does best. He gets people to boo him. He's a great heel, and you talk about feeling real. It feels like Christian would actually agitate people backstage. And I know there were times where people have been, because he liked to poke.
He's a sarcastic little bastard.
He likes to poke the bear a little bit sometimes, and doing it in the ring the way he does it is really good. The guy's just made to be a heel. And again, doing that little thing where he thanks everyone except the one person he should have thanked for retaining his championship, you know, planted that seed again. I just, you know, he's going to help. You know, he's going to turn sooner or later. It's the timing of it is just going to be interesting. You want to take your time with this. Let him, you know, dig that hole deeper, so to speak, against the former Luchasaurus, now Killswitch. But don't wait too long before you pull that trigger, because sometimes, you know, you lose the crowd and they go, okay, it should have happened like 2 months ago or whatever. But they got something there.
Yeah, they have something. Issa, I was fine with them doing the gaga they did to have Christian retain regain the TNT title in a matter of seconds. Because quite frankly, first off, Adam Copeland doesn't need any titles unless it's going to be a world title run. I don't know if that's in the cards, but he doesn't need a title. And I think Christian is far more effective standing there again with that title, with his wall of protection in front of him, most notably Killswitch. Your thought on this promo, and are you interested in a Killswitch finally seeing the light and turning on Christian?
I was 50-50 on the decision, Justin, just because I thought with them missing so many big stars on the roster right now, they could have gone back and forth and play with Christian trying to get this contract from Luchasaurus maybe for a week or two. But the way that it was done, it was shocking, and it allows the story to continue. I like the promo. I thought this is the most comfortable that Nick Wayne's mom has looked out there. They are you gonna boo a mother kind of pop me? You know, so I'm enjoying seeing her grow, you know, as she's going to be part of this whole storyline. But yeah, I was a fan of this, and I think the Killswitch turn is eventually going to come, because I'm a big fan of Christian. You guys know that. Even tonight, I was like, he's really not going to mention. He sat there and acted like he just retained. Like, he didn't even mention that he did lose the title for a few minutes, but that's what Christian does, and he's so good at his job.
No, he's very good. Yeah, Shayna Wayne, I think this might be the first time she's been in a live scenario that I can recall.
Speaking, I don't think she spoke before.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, we've seen her speak backstage. They did like the sit down or something.
Right, backstage. But when she would come out, it would just be to do something. We never heard her speak.
Yeah, and as you both know, it is different being out there in front of that live audience. It affects you in a different way, and she handled herself really well.
Yeah, she did. So I'm all here for Christian. We'll see how long they draw this out here with him.
And Nick Wayne's had also some great facials. I don't think he even said anything tonight, but he's also getting better. He was doing some great facials as, you know, Christian was putting him over. A little lacking of the selling that he went through a fire table, you know, but that's I can live with that. It's been 4 days.
Yeah. The burns were off, I suppose.
Yeah, you know.
I guess.
All right, this next match.
He's young. When you're that age, it really goes away.
And he has hair, so it's like, at least for me, I have to worry about it here.
All right, this next match, before I actually go through the match, I'm going to go to the Super Chat about it first.
Okay.
For $5 from Yes Boy. I don't smoke, but I need a cigarette after that Takeshita Darby match. Happy New Year's, everyone. Mm-hmm. So Kinosuke Takeshita, part of the Don Callis family, goes up against Darby Allin. And this match, so Darby at one point does like a suicide dive where he dives between the bottom and middle rope and just meets a knee from Takeshita's, Takeshita's knee meets Darby's face. They do the spot of this rolling German suplex that he's giving Darby on the ramp. Darby gives like a sit down, a kind of stunner kind of deal off the ropes that looks like it really grabbed Takeshita's jaw. Good selling by Takeshita. Takeshita misses Darby, runs in, his knee hit a barricade into the timekeeper's area. That looks brutal as all hell. Finally, Takeshita wins with a power drive knee to Darby's face. Takeshita gets the win. This was the most impressive and entertaining match and win that I've seen in AEW for Takeshita. So this was good for me in terms of like, yes, this dude's status, and it helped. I mean, he's a pretty well-built Japanese performer, and especially having him in the ring with somebody as small as Darby, that really emphasized Takeshita's size. So I don't know about you, but this was a big win for me here. I will say that, but I will also say, every time I watch a Darby match, I'm just like, how many more can he do? Like, I mean, it's a work, bro.
Yeah, it's a work. All worry. We all worry about it. Every single time I do a bingo card when I do live watch alongs of the pay-per-views, and I have a spot in there that's a Darby almost died spot for every pay-per-view because he's just there. This match was impressive. I feel like Yes Boy here. That spot that you were talking about, the diving onto the knee, the timing to pull that off so perfectly and how brutal it looked, the camera angle, that was perfection. Like, that's those spots that leave you like, what just happened? And then they went from that to those suplexes onto the ramp. Like, it was insane. And I never really, like you said, Takeshita has never stood out to me. And tonight I was like, well, this guy's a badass, you know? And shout out to Darby, because I mean, I worry about his well-being, but at the same time, he's selling, and the things that he's willing to put himself through really makes the other person just looks like a monster. Everybody won. It was one of those matches that I was like, why is this happening? And halfway through it, I just wanted to grab some popcorn, because it was a treat. Match of the night.
Issa, you say match of the night, and you know, there was that those rolling German suplexes on the ramp. I mean, dare I say, Issa, that Takeshita might have just relocated Suplex City to Japan? I mean,
you need to calm down.
That just happened? I mean, I don't know.
You need to calm down. It's not that deep, okay?
but really, you read my I feel like you read my mind or my notes here when you said about the selling. And see, and that's sometimes one of the issues I have with their presentation is the lack of, or the inappropriate times to sell and not sell. But I thought both guys, like you said, came out of this looking good. We talk a lot about getting over without going over, and that's what happened here with Darby Allin. A big win for Takeshita, like you said, Justin, but Darby Allin got over in this match as well.
Yeah, it's supposedly Darby's like training, like he's going to go climb Mount Everest, as K-pop lover just said, like...
Yeah, that's what I heard tonight, too. I had no idea.
I can't imagine what his life insurance premiums are.
I don't think he's insured. I think they have a picture of him on an insurance company. It's like, do not insure this guy.
But maybe he's insured by Tony Khan for life. Yeah. I don't know.
Listen.
But like you said, really great match, really entertaining. And the crowd was into pretty much everything.
I mean, there's still two other matches of the night. Not to like, you know, normally this is something we'd like, I declare after we do the whole show. But yeah, I'm going to say too, probably match of the night for me. This is probably the most entertaining start to finish. And like you said, it's kind of after a point, I just leaned back and said, well, this is just what it's going to be. Let's just enjoy it and appreciate them putting their bodies out there like that.
There you go.
And that spot, again, the timing to get that spot so perfectly is just so impressive.
One other note, there was a challenge made backstage after the fact, and then later it was confirmed by Tony Schiavone that it's going to happen. Don Callis has Takeshita and Hobbs challenging Darby and Sting next week, and that's going to happen on Dynamite. They're back in the back at Daly's place next week. I don't know what that's about. Is it just for anniversary purposes? Did they have trouble getting a building? I'm not sure why.
Maybe they're trying to save some money. You know, New Year, cut costs. You never know.
If I had to bet on anything, I'll bet it's the anniversary thing.
But, okay, Issa. We're going to save some money.
There you go.
Oh, you're so cute. Let's see. Here we got a super chat here. Jake Hollinar, $5. Happy New Year, Wrestling Inc. Going to be a busy night of wrestling for me. Love Dynamite, then Wrestle Kingdom live in a few hours. Brian Okada, LFG. Yeah.
Come watch it with me. I'm going to be watching it live on my channel.
Are you really? Jake.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
All right. Are you going to sleep and getting back up, or what are you doing?
I'm not sure yet.
Not sure. Quick nap.
I'm afraid if I take a nap, I won't wake up.
That's the thing. If you go to sleep, it makes it harder. It's like drinking. It's like drinking. If you don't stop, you can't get the hangover. So it's,
right, but I don't want to. I don't want to not sleep and then spend my day off sleeping, because tomorrow's my day off. So I have things to do. So I'm debating. We'll see. But I'm watching it live on my channel. It's gonna be a blast.
Cool.
She's a podcaster for the people. Mm-hmm. She's doing it for you. All right, this one. We got a number one contender match, Fatal 4-Way. Number one contender is going to get the challenge, Eddie Kingston.
How long did it take you to realize this was a Fatal 4-Way?
Well, I mean, I knew. What do you mean? What do you mean?
I don't know. Maybe I wasn't paying attention in the beginning when the entrances, but it took me forever. I was like, oh, it's a triple threat. And then somebody in the chat was like, it's a fatal four-way.
Well,
like, I don't know, maybe people were not in the ring too much, but it took me forever to put it together.
Well, so, I mean, I knew that it was fatal four-way because I did catch the advertisement earlier. But, all right, so we got Trent Barretta versus Brian Cage versus Vikingo versus Brian Keith. Now,
Who is Brian Keith? Have we ever seen him before? Okay, I'll stop.
We've seen him on Collision. We have seen him on other shows, but I don't know if he's ever been on Dynamite. He's the one out of the four who I don't think is actually under contract. I might be wrong about that, but I know the other three are. But we get Beretta's entrance, we get Cage's entrance. Then they go to Keith, who's already in the ring, so he gets the jobber entrance. And then we get Vikingo's entrance. That was really weird. I don't know why they went in that order, and that makes it all kind of confusing, I guess, Issa, about it being a fatal four-way or what the hell is going on here. So the whole gimmick here is you're fighting for the number one contender for Eddie's newly won Continental Classic title. He's at ringside on commentary. My question is why? Why these four? What criteria? What did any of these four do, especially if one is not even under contract? What did these four do?
Were any of these guys even in the tournament?
No.
Why not to people that did well in the tournament? Why not have a fatal four-way between? They did it at World's End, put them in some kind of match. Like, grab the next best three, four guys and put them in a match. Those should be the guys going against Eddie. Shout out to Eddie. That was incredible. I'm so happy he got his moment.
Yeah, happy for Eddie. I'm watching this match, and I'm like, why these four? What do these four? And then Jimmy. So Trent Barretta wins, which actually surprised me. I didn't see it coming. Didn't see it coming. So Trent Barretta wins, and all I can think is this match is now done. Is I'm like, if I'm Brian Cage on a night where it's a new year, and it feels like Dynamite's kind of moving in the next chapter, and okay, next guy's up, next girl's up, you know, whatever. Some of the OGs aren't around. If I'm Brian Cage, who's been around for quite a while, he's been around, you know, if I'm Brian Cage, I'm like, I'm not getting no push at all. Because if it's ever going to happen, this would have been the one to have it happen.
No, I understand that completely. But at the same time, I guess the fatal four-way scenario gives them an out where he doesn't have to be the one to lose the match and get pinned and then, or be the fall guy. Let's put it that way. And Trent Barretta, again, it's like you're saying, why these four? It didn't make any sense. You might as well have just taken a hat with a bunch of names in them and drawn four names and said, okay, you guys go to the ring and whoever wins gets a shot. They made a big deal out of this championship with the tournament and making it feel so important. And then it just felt like four random choices for a fatal four-way match to determine who's going to be the first contender.
Yeah.
It doesn't mesh.
And then Housen was there too.
Oh, yes.
I thought he was in the match at one point. I was so confused by everything, honestly.
Dan Allen was there. But this is true. All right. So Trent wins. So he will have a number one contenders match against. And here's the thing. In all seriousness, though.
Can't wait.
But in all seriousness, the reason, again, is I know there's some people out there that are huge AEW fans and that are mad at me for bringing this critique. But here's the purpose of the critique. You have now yet another title. You already have the AEW titles that did exist. And then they bring these ROH titles that also now appear on AEW television quite regularly. And now you've created another title. Another title from this Continental Classic. And so, out the gate, you give a number one contenders match that have with no rhyme or reason why the four are in the match. Like he said, none of them were in the tournament. So it's not like they're even like getting like a consolation prize here to try to be the first contenders for it, for the title. It immediately takes away any credibility or importance from this yet another piece of hardware that we're trying to establish as meaning something. So that's the problem here. That's the problem I have with it. For anybody who's the bars hating on AEW, that's just, I'm trying to like bring that out. Darius Roby, super chat $4.99. Thank you, Darius, saying willing to bet my house that Darby's going to jump off Mount Everest head first after he makes it to the top. Well, I hope
if he makes it to the top, that is actually a really dangerous thing to attempt, and a lot of people don't succeed. Not only like, listen, look it up. I'm not gonna go down that dark rabbit hole.
I was gonna make a somebody will cover him and he'll kick out anyway, but I really didn't want to go there.
But Jimmy, you did. Stop. That was the best ever.
So what are we booking here? Is Darby gonna fight Sting in March as Sting's last match, and then Darby loses, and then Darby goes off to Mount Everest? Is that what we're timelining here?
I have no. Oh boy, wow.
Loser climbs Mount Everest match Revolution.
Oh my goodness. Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
Jimmy, that was incredible.
Burning DC, kick out of the avalanche, full of snow at 2 and. Aaron Mick saying Darby did the Mount Everest climb during the tournament. No, really? Oh, I feel like we would have heard about that. Really?
No.
That can't be true. Somebody figure out if Darby's going up Everest yet and let us know. I don't know.
Right.
All right. Main event time. Both these guys, we saw promos earlier in the night. I figured I'd just hold them for now. We saw backstage pre-tape promos. Well, Daniel Garcia's a pre-tape. Swerve's was live. Daniel Garcia talking about how he doesn't fold, does not fold under pressure. He's working towards titles for 2024. Swerve backstage with Renee, same thing. He's coming for Joe and that title. He's looking for titles in 2024. So this is our main event. The main event, and it is, again, it's being framed as, you know, like two stars, you know, two up-and-coming stars here. So that's kind of that's the whole thing. There's no titles on the line. There's no official number one contendership. It's just kind of basically who can kick off their 2024 with a win and some momentum. Early on in the match, we get a spot on the outside where we get a dance off between Prince Nana and Daniel Garcia. I was actually very entertained by that. I thought it was kind of well placed. And then the crowd popped big for it. This one again, pretty intense. They do the overrun here. We will stick with it for the end of it. They do. Swerve's going to get the win though. And after that, Hangman Page comes out, and then him and Swerve just start battling and brawling. Everybody trying to keep these two apart. Very intense kind of finish here. I thought we were done with Page and Swerve, but guess not, Issa. So here we are.
I love the dance off. I'm not even gonna lie. I was quite entertained. Like, as soon as they announced the match, you're just expecting the dance off to happen. The match had a couple of rough spots. That table spot was terrible.
Yeah.
Sharpshooter one.
Taz is trying to cover it, saying, "Oh, they're just great move by Swerve to just roll out of that sharpshooter."
You know what? If I might just jump in really quick here before you continue, Issa, I got to give Taz a lot of credit, because if it wasn't for Taz out there on the commentary desk, he covers up a lot of stuff. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, he's very good.
He does a really good job of that.
But yeah, they had a good match here. Swerve is just incredible, and he keeps looking incredible out there every week. I don't want to say that I don't know that they can outdo that dead match, that Texas dead match, but it's like, unless you can outdo it, don't go back to this. Don't do part three. That match was brutal, violent. It was great. Also, didn't he drink his blood? That's how you become blood brothers. They should be closer than ever now. So I don't even understand why they're still feuding.
I agree. Once you have a death match, how do you, that's usually like the absolute roll the credits. We're done. Like
I would assume they don't want Samoa Joe to, like, maybe his first title defense, like, you know what I mean? Maybe they want Samoa Joe to hang on to his title for a little bit, you know, so he's not going to be a champion for a week or two. Therefore, maybe we're trying to keep Swerve on the back burner for a little bit longer.
Well, sure. No, I don't expect Swerve to be the first challenger to Joe. I expect Joe to knock off a few wins here, even on Dynamite, before we even get to maybe his first real serious challenger at was it Revolution in March?
He'll fight Brian Cage.
Yeah, but like, you know, like Swerve, like, I mean, okay, Swerve's made it, you know, he wants to go after Joe. Right. Adam Cole told us earlier that Wardlow's gonna go after the world title. Yeah, Adam Cole did say, Joe, it's hopefully it's not you, because I hate to screw over a friend, wink wink. But I mean, like, you know, so like, you could have Wardlow and Swerve kind of cross paths of like, who's gonna, I mean, I don't know, like, yeah, I don't, them interjecting Hangman back in this,
yeah,
it does feel a bit like moving backwards.
Yeah, and again, doing this after the match too, again, took away from the match itself, which I thought was a good match. I thought Swerve and Garcia had a good match, and you know, you can question whether that was a reason to put them in the main event. You know, what was it for, other than we're elevating two talents that we're building our future towards? But it felt like, at the end of it, with all the aftermath and the shenanigans that went on afterwards, it just felt like this match was placed there so they could have that aftermath. And that was the only reason that match took place.
Thank you to Issa. She sent me the clarification. Darby is training. He's aiming for April or May to climb Everest. So yeah, that was timeout. He maybe he's part of Sting's last match in March, and then off he goes.
Yeah, it's on Wrestling Inc. You guys can find it.
There we go. Thank you, Issa. So that was Dynamite tonight. So like we said, it was a Dynamite of lack of the OGs. It was in a lot of ways.
It was moving. A Dynamite.
It was a Dynamite. It was a Dynamite. They got a long stretch. They got to early March until they have the next pay-per-view. Again, they do like Dynamite specials. They always do those. So I'm sure we'll get some of those, but they got a few months here until we get to our next pay-per-view for AEW Dynamite. So, Jimmy, final thoughts here on tonight's Dynamite. Just general state, I guess, of AEW at the moment, and where can people find what you got going on?
I thought it was fine. There's a lot of good stuff and entertaining stuff on the show, but there wasn't that standout moment where that made people go gasping, and that's what you want. You want people to tune in, reasons for people to tune in, as opposed to reasons for putting matches out there to further. This sounds contradictory, to further a storyline that is questionable, because, like you said, for example, the last one with Hangman and Swerve getting back into each other's faces, that match that they had should have been the, like you said, the final credits and so forth. But other than that, there was entertaining moments. There was some fun stuff. But again, a lot of screws needed to be tightened and should have been tightened. And there wasn't that one big superstar we did, you know, that you expect at least. Nice surprise, though, with Deonna Purrazzo. Mm-hmm. And that's a good get. And I'm looking forward to seeing where they go with the women's division from there. And as far as where you can catch me, obviously on here on Wednesday nights with you two, which is a blast. And on Monday nights with Triple J, sorry, Issa, we have fun there too as well. You can catch me on the Reffin' It Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner, and RJ, who holds the glue together. And this week we have our Stripes Awards for 2023, where we give out certain little awards and have a little fun discussing things we liked. And of course, the Reffin' Rant for this week is, at least is going to be positive, because it is the beginning of a new year. So instead of critiquing, I'm going to be positive, but trust me, the critiquing will be coming back. But give it at least a week before I do that.
Jimmy DeIsa on the Triple J there. He's like, your name doesn't start with J. You can't sit with us.
Yeah.
No, I didn't yet.
I'll just drop it. She's wearing pink. She likes the mean girls. Issa, thoughts on Dynamite, and where can people find you?
Like I said, I thought it was just an episode of Dynamite. I'm very excited for Deonna Purrazzo, and I give them credits for featuring more women, even though only one match. There was a couple more women's interviews backstage and all that. That Takeshita and Darby match was insane. You guys can find me, NYC Demon Diva, across all socials, including here on YouTube. I will be live for Wrestle Kingdom. I'm also here on Friday for SmackDown. I'm going to be at WWC shows here in Puerto Rico on Saturday. So I'm a busy girl. No sleep, no days off.
Nice.
And rest for the weary.
And really quickly, a shout out to, we talked about the women too. Shout out to my old, not old, my former colleague and still current friend, Renee, I guess Moxley now, Renee Paquette, who was featured heavily tonight, and she does an incredible job. So, Renee, that's all.
Yeah, a TSN.
No.
Or the score.
It was originally the score, and then it was, Sportsnet.
Sportsnet, okay.
Right, yeah.
Can't keep up with these Canadian iterations of sports channels. I love the intro that you guys used to have back in the day with you, her, and Arda. You guys are all on the face paint and the strobe lights from blinking.
Well, we had some fun. I used to love the, believe it or not, the Halloween episodes, because they would have us dress up. And I dressed up 1 year as Triple H and got a lot of feedback on that one. Let's put it that way.
I love that. What's the picture, Jimmy?
Oh, I'll find it one day and I'll send it to you. I'm not going to post it. I don't need the heat.
did the old game himself give Corduroy a little feedback?
He may have.
All right. She is Issa. He is Jimmy. I am Justin. I thought tonight's Dynamite. It was okay. There was times it was entertaining. Again, like I said, the Takeshita match very good. The opening promo for the most part with Adam Cole and company good. Some things to question. Definitely not the grandest hype or grandest feeling show ever, but you know, that's, I guess we're coming off a couple days of a pay-per-view. They got a big reset here, so that's not to be surprised with. But before I give my final plugs, Blue Chew's asking Jimmy the last question of the night. Jimmy, ever ref a midget match? Any good stories?
Oh my goodness, yes, I have ref the little guys, and boy, stories. Let me put it this way. I ref some Hornswoggle matches. That's all you need to know. But yeah, the one that made me laugh the most, though, that he did a run in one time, and he came running down the ramp, and he almost, like, he fell. And, you know, there's a middle pole between the two poles that holds, you know, the ring together in the middle. He almost hit that, going, oh my goodness.
That's the pole that Titus did a spear into at the one Saudi Arabia show, the greatest pole.
Yeah, and the other stuff too is we had to sneak him under the ring one time before a match, you know, at intermission. So they put the lights out, we covered him up, and we acted like we were doing some repairs to the ring. And as we were trying to sneak him under the ring, he may have eaten a few boots and elbows and stuff. But anyways.
Great stuff. I'm at Just Labar across the socials. You can see me here on Mondays and Wednesdays on Wrestling Inc. Every single Friday morning, Spar with Labar, myself, David Greco, and Thunder Rosa on Busted Open. That's just about a half hour, Spar with Labar. And then if you want to go the full 3 hours with me, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, Busted Open now, 7 days a week. And Sunday's a great show because not only is a wrestling Saturday night, whether it's Collision or whether it's a pay-per-view or PLE, but it's Sunday. So it's kind of like we get to kind of catch all the whole week that happened. We get to talk about what's coming up Monday. It's a fun show.
You're everybody's Sunday morning coffee buddy. I hope you know that.
Yes. I'm.
I have coffee with you, and I've taken you to the gym.
just put me in your cup, put me in your purse, take me with you. I'm happy to narrate your Sunday morning. That's what I'm here for.
And there may be some pancakes in there as well on Sunday morning. So
yeah. I like it. Yeah. I like it. Yeah. Tweet at me. Let me know how am I fitting into your life on this glorious Sunday morning? Myself and Jonathan Hood back together this Sunday. It's going to be a great show. Thanks to both of you. Love both of you. Always a great time. Thanks everybody in the chat. Thanks everybody who watches after the fact, listens after the fact. Do whatever you got to do. Be safe. Be good. We'll be back next week here on Wrestling Inc.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.